No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, breaking down the news of Major League Baseball and the latest comings and goings for those Colorado Rockies. Roky Sasaki, of course, being the number one story in Major League Baseball. The Los Angeles Dodgers, of course, at the center of everything going down with Sasaki's signing, the Nolan Arenado trade rumors, so much to get to on today's show. But let's start with the big news in baseball. Harold Castro signs a minor league deal with the Kansas City Royals. The former Rockies second baseman spent 2024 with the Toros de Tijuana of the Mexican League. Now, we're going to talk about Sasaki, but the Rockies, speaking of minor league signings, last week, since my last show, Rockies did make two moves to shore up some of their minor league depth. Former big leaguers, current big leaguers that spent some time in the majors in 2024. First base DH Keston Hera, former second base prospect for the Milwaukee Brewers. Somewhat of a butcher over at second base. Not sure if the Rockies will utilize him in this capacity, but I think the more interesting signing that it creates somewhat of a what-if scenario for the Rockies is Nick Martini, outfielder who signed a minor league deal with Colorado. Both those players will be in camp during spring training as they have received major league invites. And as Renee Deckert from Purple Row, a couple other websites, Just Baseball, and Pitcher List, that was the one I was coming to mind. But she actually has a newsletter. It's really great. Check it out. It's called Rockies Pitch. She said that Nick Martini has a bit of a Jake Cave feel to him. And that might be troubling to some fans who, despite the fact that, yeah, Jake Cave kind of became a fan favorite halfway through the season because of what happened during that Dodgers game where they walked it off on what was supposed to be a check swing. They didn't walk it off, but they ultimately tied it when it was one pitch away from being over, from being a Rockies victory. Jake Cave, a man of the people, he was great. He provided a lot of good memories. I think fans definitely warmed up to him, but the simple fact that he was on this team in 2024 and was getting playing time over a lot of young players, a lot of kids that had yet to even make their major league debut, that was a bit troubling to say, we're going to let the kids play, but not all of the kids. And with little benefit, at least on field, for playing some of these older, more veteran types, because they might be a little bit more consistent. Again, they're going to lead in the clubhouse, of course, but those contributions from those veteran players certainly did not impact the win-loss record. So Nick Martini, a guy who, when healthy over the last 2 years, has been really good from the left-hand side, he might just be depth piece. He might just be a depth piece for the Albuquerque Isotopes. And you think, okay, well, again, maybe both of these players are veteran depth pieces for AAA, but maybe not. Right now, you would probably pencil in Yankiel Fernandez and Zach Veen in both your corners down in Albuquerque. Sterling Thompson is going to spend some time there. You got to think Benny Montgomery is going to play his way out of AA at some point in the first half. So is Nick Martini for the minor league roster in AAA for the Isotopes, or is he going to be utilized more on the major league side of things? We will find out as soon as less than a month from now when I'm down in spring training at Salt River Fields in Scottsdale, Arizona. Roki Sasaki, let's get to it. He's made his choice. We found out on Wednesday it was down to three, the Toronto Blue Jays, the San Diego Padres, and of course, the Los Angeles Dodgers, where so many people already assumed he was going. Well, sure enough, we got the news. Friday evening, Sasaki did choose the Los Angeles Dodgers, signs a $6.5 million deal, or rather gets a $6.5 million international signing bonus. Sasaki, not a true free agent in the same capacity as a Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who is 25 years old or older. He was 25 on the nose, Yamamoto, but Sasaki being younger than 25, he's subject to international bonus pool money. So he's in that group. The Dodgers were able to up their total. They were at around $5.1 million, along with the Giants, the two lowest teams in terms of bonus pool money, but they acquire about $1 million from the Phillies. They gave up their fourth round pick from 2023 outfielder Dylan Campbell. They also acquire about $1.5 million from the Cincinnati Reds. Dodgers give up Arnaldo Lantigua, who received a $700,000 signing bonus in 2023. So he is yet to play stateside, only in the Dominican Summer League. Other than that, really the max bonus pool that any team could have given him was $8 million. And if you're out there, as much as you might hate the Dodgers, would you rather take $8 million with any other team in baseball or $6.5 million with the Los Angeles Dodgers? Now, that is one and a half mil less by signing with the Dodgers here in this instance that Sasaki has chosen. But how much more money is he going to make being in that Los Angeles market and the connection, obviously, that has with the Japanese players that are already there, Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Shohei Ohtani? What kind of advertising revenue can you bring in as an individual player and sponsorship deals that Los Angeles affords you, whereas other places cannot? So you're going to make that money back up pretty quickly. And considering the fact that since Sasaki is still a prospect right now, he's yet to make his debut and will need 6 years of service time before reaching free agency, that means he's also going to go through the arbitration process, just like Shohei Ohtani did when he first signed in 2018, when he finally started to get arbitration eligible in 2021. So the better you perform, the more money you're going to make, and more likely than not, the Dodgers are going to help you become that best version of yourself. So $8 million was about the most a team could have spent. Now, Toronto, I think their number ended up getting over $8 million because they also acquired some international bonus pool money. We saw teams doing this back at the end of 2017 when Ohtani came over in order to entice him and make that offer that much more. But Toronto, who's always the bridesmaid, never the bride, they ended up acquiring $2 million in bonus pool money from the Cleveland Guardians. Now, they're going to send the Guardians a player to be named later or some cash. In other words, not much. But what they did do in this deal with the Guardians in acquiring $2 million in bonus pool money, which they still have now, they don't need it, but they also acquired Miles Straw, and Straw was due about $13.8 million over the next two seasons, and the Guardians ultimately wanted to slash some of that payroll, so they send Straw along with $3.75 million to the Blue Jays in order to take Straw off their hands. And it's kind of a win-win deal for both those teams, even despite the fact that now the Blue Jays don't need that extra money. Dalton Varsho is not going to be ready to open the season, the Gold Glove award-winning center fielder. So now Straw, you can put him in there. Great defender, already has a Gold Glove in his cabinet. He's a great defender. So this now becomes the second trade that the Blue Jays and Guardians link up with. Don't forget last month's Andrés Giménez deal. So the Dodgers get Sasaki for $6.5 million. Sasaki will make league minimum over the next three-plus years. And the Chibolote Marines get a $1.3 million posting fee for Sasaki signing with the Dodgers for $6.5 million. So the Dodgers get Sasaki for $7.8 million, a player who has a 2.10 ERA in just under 400 innings pitched over the last 4 years. A guy who struck out about 33% of hitters that he's faced and has walked a little more than 5%. So that ability to fill up the strike zone but also miss bats is an absolute rarity, and that's why every team in baseball loved to have had a pitcher like Sasaki. Partially due to the fact that, yes, he was not going to make a lot of money over the next few years. And if you're a cash-strapped team, after 3 years and he starts going into arbitration and he is worth a lot more money, think about how much money Juan Soto was making before he finally reached free agency. It became too rich, really, for the Washington Nationals, who were looking to do somewhat of a rebuild. So you just offload him and still get a crop of prospects in exchange for that guy. So Sasaki, again, this was an opportunity for every team to get better with his signing, and yet only the Dodgers benefit from that. Alden Gonzalez of ESPN thinks that Sasaki may start the season a little bit late in order to limit his overall innings. 120, 140 innings pitch is what a lot of folks are thinking is going to happen. It was ultimately what Yamamoto would have done had he not gone on the IL for a while. It's also easier to start on time than to, or rather, it's easier to start late and then have a normal season after that than to begin your season in Tokyo, perhaps during the Tokyo series in March, pitch all throughout April, and then shut it down maybe in the middle of the season in order to curtail those innings to keep you on that 120 to 140 innings pace. So not really sure how the Dodgers are going to do that, because if Sasaki is not on the major league roster, then he will not be getting service time, which means he would potentially be with the Dodgers for a seventh season. That was something that was discussed with Paul Skeens, the fact that he was called up at a point so late in the season that it would not have given him a full year of service time. And so if you basically have 5.999 years of service time, you don't have six. And so you have to stick around for one more year. Service time is actually calculated in days on the big league roster. So could they put him on the 60-day IL to begin the year, and therefore he would get service time? It's not entirely clear how they're going to do that, but we'll certainly find out in spring, in about a month from now. One of the things that came out with the whole Sasaki saga is the fact that he gave homework to all of the teams that he was having sit-down meetings with to find out not what kind of facility you have, what's the spring training situation like. You know, how passionate are the fans? What are my teammates going to be like? Sure, it'd be great hearing from them and what their experiences are like. But I want to know how you're going to help me get better, because I hope to be a free agent in 6 years' time, and I want to make the most money possible. And I can only do that if the team that I play for is giving me that much support. So he asked teams that he met with, why did my fastball velocity dip in 2024? Now, first, he did get answers from all of these teams, but the first takeaway from this is there are a lot of teams that had a meeting with Sasaki that are not happy right now, because they just gave away a lot of proprietary information to a player who is not going to be playing with them. They said, okay, here's what we would do. Here's what we noticed. Here's how you can get better. And now Sasaki can take that information, get better, and that team does not benefit one bit. In fact, it should be noted that Major League Baseball conducted an investigation before Sasaki was officially posted on December 10th. The probe was ultimately not looking at Sasaki, but his team, the Chibolote Marines, because as I said before, the Dodgers are paying Chibolote something like $1.3 million as a posting fee. By comparison, when Yamamoto was posted last offseason, his $325 million deal netted his team in Japan $50 million. That was because he was going to make $325 million. So the team got 50. But because Sasaki was going to be making so little, $10 million, And then his team, the Marines, were not going to be receiving very much from whatever club signed him here in MLB. So there was some thought that, well, maybe they're going to get compensated a completely different way. You're going to have to get a little bit creative, perhaps. But that probe ultimately did not turn up anything. And the second thing I thought of when word got out that Sasaki's homework to these clubs that talked with him, why did my fastball velocity dip in 24, was could the Rockies answer that? Could the Colorado Rockies have given him a good answer as to why his fastball velocity had dipped? What could he do to make it that much better? I think it's possible. I think it's possible they would have had an answer. Would it be as good as teams that invest a lot more into analytics? You have to think not. With not having any scouts over in Japan, again, they've got resources to know what is going on in NPB and KBO, but without any scouts, with any direct one-to-one contact with Sasaki's camp, talking about in the past at least, or the team, or league officials, it does make it a little bit harder to know, you know, what happened last year, why there was that reduction in fastball velocity. So that makes it that much harder for a team like the Rockies to get better and to acquire players like that. And I think it's important that the Rockies are able to acquire these kind of top players and give them that kind of information, because players want and need support from their team. They want support in that way. And analytics can be a huge part of it. There's a lot of guys that don't necessarily want to know a lot about analytics. I think that's changed over the last few years. But for those guys that are reticent about listening to it, there's that many more that would love that information to get that much more better and know, hey, what are some of my weaknesses? I know what my strengths are, but what are my weaknesses? How can I get that much better? That becomes a little bit tricky. Mr. Classic over on YouTube, thanks for reaching out again. Whether you're listening to this as a podcast or you're joining the show later after the fact, you can do exactly that. Enjoy the show after the fact and leave a comment. I see those. I comment on those. Can I start a nice conversation? But Mr. Classic saying, I feel for Rockies fans. Rockies got to start moving. And yeah, that is a big piece right there that a lot of Rockies fans and fans of other teams, they're very upset. How can you compete with the Dodgers and their payroll? $70 million more than the next most spending team. That makes things all the more complicated. Now, thankfully, there are six teams that make the postseason from each league, 12 teams in total. So you don't need to win your division. So that is the nice thing. You almost just have to treat the Dodgers as they are just some other team that's a lock for one of those six spots in the National League. You can still make the playoffs as a wild card. And once the playoffs start, it is a crapshoot. It's just a crapshoot. It's just a whole new season. Anything can happen. Just get to the postseason. Be one of the best six. And because of the Dodgers, of course, that does mean be one of the best five teams in the National League. And when you throw that kind of mathematics out there, it makes it a little bit easier for some of those middle market clubs to say, you know what, there's a possibility that we can do this. That if, also like in the chat, if we can build up our farm system enough and time it so that all those guys get to the majors at the same time, and we can use some of those trade chips in deals for big league talent to improve spots in which we can't improve on our own via free agency, well, then you can contend with a team like the Dodgers. You're not going to be better than them. You are not going to out-Dodger the Dodgers. Nobody can right now in baseball because they do everything well. They do everything great. But all you need to do in any one given season is make the postseason, is make the playoffs. And you've got five other slots in which you can do that. Now, it does make it a lot harder for a team like the Rockies when they're in the Dodgers division. That being said, you don't play 19 times a year anymore. That has changed. So now there's more balance in the schedule. Yes, you are at more of a disadvantage than someone like the Cubs, who get to play the Pirates a lot more than the Rockies do. But even still, that is why there are six spots in each league. Toronto, as I said, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Yu Darvish didn't play a pivotal role in this at all for San Diego. Padres have done nothing this offseason, and I sort of think that Preller was waiting for the Sasaki decision before going out and possibly making that Dylan Cease trade or that Luis Arraez trade. Now he can get to that. Got a really good question in the chat I want to talk about. But first, let's look at the Dodgers rotation. Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Roky Sasaki, Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, six guys right there, and I still haven't mentioned Shohei Ohtani's name. I found it very funny that after the Sasaki deal, the next morning, there was an article on MLB.com that was basically saying, this doesn't mean the Dodgers are guaranteed to win the World Series, so, you know, calm down, it's not a big deal. But then maybe it became a slightly bigger deal, because then we heard Tanner Scott the next day signs a four-year, $72 million pact, $18 million annually he's going to receive over the next 4 years. Still not more than what the Rockies paid Wade Davis annually back when he signed that three-year, $52 million contract ahead of the 2018 season. $20 million signing bonus for Tanner Scott, $20 million deferred. Cubs' offer was close, reportedly, to what the Dodgers put out there. But now you've got a dominant bullpen that was able to really elevate the Dodgers. The Dodgers' bullpen was so good that it provided the workload of another starting pitcher. In the chat, how much better is the Dodgers' bullpen this upcoming season over last year? It's a good amount better. I wouldn't say a ton better. It's certainly a lot more notable with a guy like Tanner Scott, the best relief pitcher on the market. So Dodgers sign him. They sign the best international free agent on the market, the only one that's going to make an immediate impact in the majors. All the other guys are 16, 17 years old. They sign a top outfielder in Teoscar Hernandez. Yep, they brought him back. The top left-handed starting pitcher in Blake Snell. All those guys, right after the Dodgers win the World Series. Incredible. Incredible. So the Dodgers get Tanner Scott. Cubs do not. They now move their attention to Carlos Estevez, and I think all of baseball moves their attention over to the free agent relievers, the free agent closers that are now on the market. Estevez probably being at the front of that group. But you also got Kirby Yates, Kenley Jansen, David Robertson, Paul Sewald. Is he going to get a closer role? Maybe not right away. Maybe if someone goes down, he'll be a solid backup option after having a rough 2024. Kyle Finnegan's also out there. AJ Minter, not out there. The left-handed reliever gets 2 years, $22 million with the Mets. Mets lost five relievers in free agency this past offseason. Talk about Wade Davis and Rockies free agent relief pitchers. That $11 million value for AJ Minter is more than any reliever not named Wade Davis has ever received. I want to wrap up this section talking about the Dodgers and Roky Sasaki by addressing the deferrals, because it's something that is still relatively new. It's been used. It's been going on for a while. I mean, Bobby Bonilla, July 1st, Bobby Bonilla Day, that's a deferral. So it's been going on since the 1990s, but it's definitely being utilized a lot more now, and I think people are still struggling to understand it. Dodgers and any other team that handles with deferrals, they're able to do that. It's part of the collective bargaining agreement. There's no restrictions on how much money can be deferred. Like when you look at Shohei Ohtani's deal from last offseason, because the value of the dollar decreases over time, the contract has a present-day value of $460 million. So while Ohtani is going to receive a series of checks that will end up adding up to be $700 million, it's only going to cost LA $460 million. And they're not going to kick that can down the road. The checks that go out to Ohtani get kicked down the road, but those payments go into escrow in order to increase in value for the Dodgers to then pay Ohtani in 10 years' time. It's true of all of these deals with over a billion dollars in deferred money. I saw somewhere that, as one writer put it, the $68 million in deferred contracts they have in the year 2040 is obviously not going to be as much as it is today. That might be the sunk cost of one bad contract right now. If the Rockies are paying Chris Bryant $28 million this year, how much money is that in the year 2040? And the Dodgers are one of those large market teams that if you sign a guy and it doesn't work out, you can eat that. It's not a big deal. So that money that's deferred collectively seems like a lot, but it's not. It's future money. The future money does exist, but not in the same capacity that exists right now. It's just not true. At Rockies Insider, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, or at Patrick D. Lyons anywhere on the social medias. Thank you so much for joining me. Believe it or not, this is not my only show of the day. If you're still around on Monday night, 6:30 Mountain Time, got a whole conversation with my good buddy Manny Randhawa talking about the Baseball Hall of Fame. The announcement is coming on Tuesday. Looking forward to have this chat. We'll try to keep it to an hour, even though he and I, when we get going, it can be like 3 hours in the blink of an eye. So I think you're going to enjoy that conversation in a major way. Swing on by the channel again for that. Appreciate you joining me. Appreciate all the momentum you've given me here. But look, as I like to say, momentum, it's only as good as your next podcast. So I'll talk to you then.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.